Why are gas and diesel prices at record highs? This weekend on Focus on the Community, we will get an insider's perspective on pricing, supply, and demand. I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. My special guest is Scott Imus. Scott is the executive director of the Indiana Food and Fuel Association. He was born and raised in Northeast Indiana. He graduated from Indiana University and for over 20 years lived in Washington, D.C., spending the first 10 years working on Capitol Hill and the other 10 as a lobbyist for the truck stop industry. Scott returned to Indiana in June 2003 when he joined what was then called the Indiana Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association. Scott frequently testifies before the Indiana General Assembly regarding industry issues and is sought after on a regular basis by the media for comments regarding gas prices. Scott, welcome to Focus on the Community.
Thanks, Dave. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, we're glad to have you on the air this morning, and it just seems to me that the number one issue affecting all consumers across the country, especially here in the Hoosier State, is the cost of fuel. It seems to take all the air out of the room right now as people are filling up their tanks and spending record amounts on gas. First of all, can we agree that fuel is a commodity and the price is driven by supply and demand?
Correct. And it's not only a commodity in the United States, it's a worldwide commodity. So what happens thousands and thousands of miles from the United States, Indiana, Terre Haute, has an impact on what you pay at your local gas pump.
So 2 years ago, we saw record low prices. Was the pandemic most responsible for those low prices, or did the former Trump administration have an impact with policy that could have helped make prices low?
No, I mean, really, and that's probably the biggest myth out there, that really no president in the short term can impact prices on the pump, whether they be low or whether they be high. The start of the pandemic, obviously, you saw a tremendous crash in demand with people staying home and people locked up. At the same time, you had a glut of oil on the market from OPEC. I believe there were squabbles within the OPEC countries about production, and production continued to ramp up, and that brought a barrel of crude down to $0. In fact, there were trades even below zero. So that obviously reflected on prices everywhere, including back here in Indiana when, it was around $1 to $1.50.
So in other words, during the Trump administration, did we start producing more domestically perhaps, or did a policy happen to make that occur? Or in your opinion, during his term, what changed, if anything, about production domestically?
Well, actually, we became oil independent, if you will, under the Obama administration, meaning that we were producing more than we were bringing in. But again, this is a world commodity. So just because we produce more doesn't mean that it stays all in the United States. Today we have diesel shortages, but a lot of the diesel fuel that's produced is being sent over to Europe, who is much more heavily dependent on diesel fuel as a fuel.
Right. And then that's really tough on farmers, especially this time of the year. And of course, anyone driving a semi, I mean, diesel fuel prices, we've never seen them this high, have we?
No. And I'm afraid it's going to get much worse if you look at forecasts. And not only the farmers, obviously, that's a direct impact. The truck driver, that's a direct impact. But shipping of anything. And I'd venture to say anything that you go buy at the grocery store or anywhere else, came from a truck. And those costs are going to be passed on. And that's largely because of the Ukraine situation and walking away from Russian crude oil. And again, not anything one administration has done, but the world events has caused these high prices.
And just to be clear, because you're still educating me on some of these issues, when it comes to diesel fuel, any idea what percent of the diesel fuel that we produce stays at home, or do we actually import diesel fuel, or how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it certainly changes. I think a lot is being exported now. I think since the start of April, exports of diesel, I read, had been up 36% compared to the same period a year ago. So obviously, again, it all boils down to something we learned in, if you took a beginning economics class, supply and demand.
Yeah, and that's what I've sometimes argued with friends when every time I open up social media and people are thanking Brandon, as they sometimes call him if they don't like the current president. But let's talk about when President Biden became our president, and of course he shut down the Keystone Pipeline immediately. Did that have an effect on current pricing?
No, the Keystone Pipeline is a transportation method. It's not an oil field. It wasn't producing any oil. Now, it may impact prices, but that would have been years from now, not today's prices. Headlines the last couple of days about places in the Gulf and Alaska that the potential areas were canceled. That, again, had nothing to do with today's prices. That oil that to be produced in those areas were probably more than a decade away from being found in your local gas station. So, again, it's very hard for a president to really impact prices at the pump. Longer term, perhaps, there's argument, but there's a lot of factors that go in to what Hoosiers are paying at the pump for their gasoline.
What seems to me to be the biggest issue, I mean, we were locked down, of course, for a significant amount of time. A lot of people were working from home. Some still are working from home. But now that a lot of people have that pandemic in their rearview mirror, even though it's not quite completely eradicated, but at least people are ready for it to be gone, that they're driving to Florida. They're wanting to go on vacation. I went to Florida back in late April, or I guess it was late March, early April. My goodness, I've never seen so much traffic on Interstate 75 going south and I-65 coming back north. It just looks like people are ready to get out and go, and I would think that would have a tremendous effect on pricing.
Yes, and couple that with the fact that during the pandemic, production in the U.S. Came to a screeching halt, again, because of what happened on crude oil, but OPEC nations as well cut back on their supply. And OPEC has been pretty slow to turn the spigot back on. In the U.S., production wells being operational again, they're finding it difficult, like everybody else, to find laborers, to find the correct materials in the supply chain to reopen wells. So domestic production has not returned to pre-pandemic level, although traffic, as you pointed out, is certainly very close to pre-pandemic level.
Yeah, indeed. And your point about finding help, I mean, that's a challenge for every business that we talk to, of course, in the advertising business right now. But, I've talked to some people that are in the industry that we're covering today, and they've pointed out that, yeah, since the pandemic, we're not back to full production because we just can't find enough people to do the work right that's needed.
Right. And that's that's an interesting question that gets debated, again, across all sectors of employment. You had the great resignations. You had the reassessments. Certainly, you had a lot of stimulus money available. But even with that, you still had a lot of people, I think, reassess what they do on a daily basis.
And what about just in general pricing between now and maybe the next 6 months or a year from now? What's going to be our best hope in getting prices at least lower than where they are now? I mean, do we all need to stay home more, or will you see production ramp up domestically and possibly globally? Or what do you think is going to happen if you were hedging your bets later in this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll see production ramp up, certainly domestically. I think OPEC will become more and more productive. I think the war in Ukraine has a lot to do with it, in terms of particularly on diesel prices. You know, the one thing that we always watch is taxes and how much of the driving public, how much they pay in taxes when they go to the pump. And unfortunately, in Indiana, we're one of 11 states that have sales tax on gasoline, and it's been going up pretty steadily, as you can imagine, over the last year. We're collecting in sales tax about 9 cents more than we did a year ago. Coupled with that, we have among the highest gas tax in the nation. We have among the highest diesel tax to fix our roads in the nation. And those both go up on July 1st automatically. You know, there's a lot of blame to go around for high gas prices, and really no party can really escape that. You know, there's a pox on everybody's house, I believe.
Well, let's dive into that for a second. As you and I both know, Indiana does charge sales tax on gasoline. I notice at times on social media, my friends in Evansville will drive across the river to Kentucky because their prices are so much lower. And again, Kentucky does not charge 7% sales tax on every dollar of fuel sold. So obviously at $4 gas rates per gallon, that's as much as 28 cents less per gallon, correct?
Correct. We pay, the Hoosier today pays about 75 cents in taxes, and that includes 18 cents of the federal government, but the other component of that is all comprised of state taxes. The road tax, which is again goes into the highway program, is Hoosiers pay 32 cents. That's probably going to go up to 33 cents automatically without any more votes by the legislature on July 1st. And the sales tax is calculated on a monthly basis, currently at 24 cents. Prices we're seeing today in the calculation for June, you might see a bump in that. You probably won't see any relief in that tax. So about... a good portion of what the Hoosiers are paying at the pump are taxes.
Now, and, remind me, did legislators in Indianapolis raise the gas tax in the past year or two, or when did that vote take place, and how did that legislation, how is it written, I guess?
It was in 2017. It was really the largest tax increase in Indiana history regarding all taxes. At the time, the gasoline excise tax went up by 10 cents. The diesel pump price went up significantly more. But then the problem, and something that we opposed until from every year after that till 2024, I believe, there's an automatically penny increase added every July. We thought, we were arguing against that because, one, we thought legislators ought to be held accountable and ought to vote on each and every tax increase, that you don't do government by autopilot. And we also thought that we don't know what the economic conditions are out into the future, and it might not be a great time to be raising taxes, and that's where we are today. I mean, I can't think of any other state that is raising gasoline taxes. Some states are actually cutting taxes and providing some relief.
Now, we do have an audience in Illinois on our radio stations, and I've got a couple of stations across the state line. I drove back from Lawrenceville yesterday, and, of course, they've got higher gas taxes there, it seems like, higher price per gallon right now, around 15 cents higher. I think that was something that maybe the governor and the Illinois legislature did a couple of years ago, apparently.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. They do have higher prices in Indiana, but they're in probably the top three. Indiana, when it comes to gas, is probably around seventh or eighth in the nation. So we're not far behind them. On diesel taxes, I think Indiana, they have a biofuel tax credit. So I think on diesel fuel, Indiana's in the top five, perhaps even the top three in terms of taxes collected at the pump.
So, again, all these taxes, at least in Indiana, that had to be raised by the Republican-dominated legislature. So I guess when there's this perception right now that it's all Joe Biden's fault, at least specifically in Indiana, Republicans dominate and have control, and they've obviously have had to bump up the pricing, which a lot of people would say, hey, you had to do because we've got so many roads to fix. Just look at I-70 and all these interstates in the condition that they're in. But, you know, the governor was asked this week if he could suspend the taxes for a while by an executive order. And he says the way the statute is written, you'd have to be in an extreme emergency for that to happen. But what would happen if the governor and the legislature could somehow agree that, hey, we're going to suspend sales tax on gasoline, excise tax for the rest of the year to try to give drivers some relief? What would be the positives and the negatives of such a move?
Well, the positive, obviously, it makes the cost of the product cheaper, right? I mean, the cost that a retailer would pay the wholesaler for a delivery to his station would be cheaper. The downside is that there's other factors in the world market that determine that. So just because a certain state would, say, cut 15 cents of taxes off of reduced taxes by, let's say, 15 cents, doesn't mean that consumers would wake up that next morning and find gas prices have dropped 15 cents. Again, other factors into this world market that could actually drop it more than 15 cents, or it could increase it, not pass along any of that savings. So, you know, it's very difficult for consumers to see benefit, but at the end of the day, the retailer it's costing less for that gasoline to be brought to their station.
Let's talk about retailers. These are the clients you work for when you lobby in the General Assembly, for instance. And again, your typical retailers could be a small mom-and-pop operation to a large truck stop. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
Okay, so
and the multi-state members, like that would have locations in maybe 40 out of 50 states.
Okay, so like Pilot and some of those other places come to mind, for instance, or Love's or whatever. Okay, so, and I know it's not cheap to build one of those big mega stations, let alone a small station, but I get mixed reports. I grew up in a gas station, as you know, and in my local community, and had a feel for what we would try to make per gallon back then, but these days in 2022, what would a typical retailer try to achieve when it comes to a profit margin before their true cost and expenses on a typical gallon of gas? What would you guess is the spread these days they try to get?
These days, I'm not so sure. It's not something I want to follow very quickly. We always get accused of manipulating the prices. But just looking at studies, a comfortable margin, if you will, a gross profit would be about 15 cents. But then you need to include everything else, like labor and utilities, and most importantly for us, credit card fees, which is having a big impact on all consumers. With the credit card fee, the problem is that it's a percentage of the sale. Pre-pandemic times, credit card transactions were 2 to 3% of a gas fill at $1 a gallon. Now they're 2 to 3% of a gas fill at $4 a gallon. So they're making, the credit card companies, the banks, are making four times more for handling that same transaction than they did when prices were lower. And so that's becoming a huge expense for retailers. And the higher prices go, the more likely a consumer is going to use a credit card.
And when that's when the spread is not, you know, big for your retailers, obviously I've always heard you've got to make it up inside the store. They're selling, you know, $2 coffee, soft drinks, and everything else that you can imagine in a lot of convenience stores. I mean, that's where they really have to make up the profits to get people to patronize their business, right?
Correct. And again, when prices are higher, that becomes much more challenging, because if you're a customer and you've just spent $75 to fill up your car, you're not too inclined to go into the store and spend another $3 on chips and a soda.
Yep, I hear you. Exactly.
So that becomes more and more challenging. And our workforce, like all workforces, have seen wages dramatically increase over the last year and a half. So the cost of operations have gone up. So there's a lot of challenges facing the fuel retailer today. A lot of people might look at that pump price and say, oh man, they're living on easy street right now. But in fact, higher prices really makes the business much more challenging.
So what about the actual oil companies, whether it's Exxon, Mobil, all the big international companies? I mean, do they really want to see cheaper fuel prices right now? I keep seeing all these record profit statements when it comes to the big oil companies. I mean, what's the incentive for them to go out and drill more oil if they can make a larger margin right now with $4 and $5 gas?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen really what the margins are at the refinery level since we've been in this phase. It's a competitive between the oil companies as well as it is on the street level. I think you see record profits because prices are so high. All right, so of course you're going to have much more money you made in the last quarter. It depends what you do with that money, and it depends what else you look at. Obviously, we would like to see more of it into the exploration areas and bringing product a little bit more efficiently to market, but something that is really out of our retailers' hands, and not a lot of time that I can spend looking at that and trying to fix their issues or to guide their issues. We're sort of at the end of the rope or the end of the pipeline, if you will, when it comes to that, and really don't have a lot of say. We're just one step ahead of our customers when it comes to that.
And I know we got to wrap this up in just a couple of minutes, but let me run this by you. I mean, if you were the president right now or the Congress, is there anything that government can do to try to encourage lower prices? Is there anything that policy-wise they could come up with, in your opinion?
No. I mean, I think the only thing would be you can affect prices directly when it comes to taxes. But again, the federal tax at 18 cents, that hasn't been raised in decades. The relief on the state side, that again could potentially lower prices as things don't get worse on the world market. But if you don't change the state tax calculations, your guaranteed taxes are going to continue to go up because they're going to go up because we have sales tax on gasoline. And again, I wish Indiana was one of the 39 states that don't charge sales tax on gasoline. And at a 7% sales tax, we're pretty high when it comes to sales tax.
Yeah.
So
that's the one thing I wish that if we had probably a more equal composition in the legislature, there would be probably an agreement right now to just suspend the fuel tax. And there's a talk about a special session coming up anyway to deal with some social issues. But, boy, that would sure be a winner, I think, in the eyes of consumers right now.
Just very quickly, the 2017 bill that passed most of these tax increases, that did take some of the sales tax away on a step-down measure from the general fund to the highway fund. So right now, 33% of the sales tax on gasoline goes to the general fund. But the general fund is what? Has billions of dollars in reserves? And do we really need that? And the highway funds as well. Since passage of that bill in 2017, Congress has passed a bipartisan infrastructure bill. So there's more money coming to the state than lawmakers ever imagined in 2017.
True.
So do we need to look at that again and perhaps scale back what the state tax is?
Well, Scott, I sure appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to give us an update on fuel prices and to kind of give your insights on what's really going on. And it sounds like we're just dealing with a global challenge and a high demand supply that could be better. And fuel is like so many other commodities. When the demand is up, the price is up. And boy, it's really biting consumers hard, as you know, and we just hope that things will settle down sooner than later.
Right. Inflation's a worldwide problem. I mean gasoline in Europe is at high record levels as well. So again, it's not just the United States suffering this. We're talking about global commodities at this point.
Well, hey, Scott, thanks again for taking time, and we'll talk again. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dave.
Again, Scott Imus is the executive director of the Indiana Food and Fuel Association. We appreciate his time on Focus on the Community this weekend. Produced by the DLC Media News Center, this program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 on 104.9 WAXI, Saturdays at 7 on WAMB 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.